NPP delegates were reveling over the weekend.
Well, you'll be right.
Ah, yeah. They eat and drink.
They had fun.
In fact, they were fighting over the food. You missed out a lot on that.
Oh, Charlie. Political conference jollof is not like funeral jollof.
Oh,
funeral jollof tops all.
Truth is, I haven't eaten political conference jollof before. I have eaten funeral jollof.
Yes.
I like the smoke part in it. There's smoke in the jollof now.
But you're not delegates. Allow the delegates to testify.
That's why I said that. I haven't. And that only confirms that I've never been a delegate, and I'm not a delegate. But the funeral jollof.
At the funeral jollof,
the smoke in the jollof is the best part.
This jollof was a special one. It was carried in chariots. The only thing that was not used over the weekend was a chopper. Even that one. I'm sure Winston was the one who stopped the idea. So, you know. Anyway, let's get into the details now.
Okay, let's get into it. Let's continue.
Okay, Daily Guide. Why are you laughing?
Go.
Okay, anyway. Winston, you should have used the chariots now. Anyway, Daily Guide. I promise, I will make fun of the issue again. Okay, NPP unites to rebuild after successful conference. You can get the details, page 3 of the Daily Guide newspaper. Then London Mayor visits Gamanche. So it comes up with a picture of Sir Sadiq Khan paying some homage to King Taki Tekotru II. And then Ghana to roll out gold traceability system by 2026. And Mahama dissolves National Cathedral Board.
The London Mayor is on the front page of the Daily Graphic with the Gamanche, and the caption says Accra London to chart mutual development path. Now, on the NPP Delegates Conference, NPP expands electoral college, voters increase from 220,000 to 280,000. Blekusu coastline secured, President Mahama launches protection project, and over the weekend he shared photos of this on his page on Facebook.
The overseer is talking about the kind of welcome the delegates, and some of the candidates received at the NPP conference. This one says, Brian, a champion receives rousing welcome at NPP delegates conference. You know, Winston, I was telling you about that. And then NPP aspirants accused Nana B of busing non-delegates to chair Bawumia at conference. So looks like the weekend was also another playground for the internal jostling within the new patriotic party. A show of might when you're arriving. Yes.
You know, because you have, when we're doing the analysis, about 5,000 delegates.
Yes, yes.
Now, the whole University of Ghana stadium with the 10,000.
It was almost packed.
It was packed.
So where are the people from?
It was packed.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were people who were at other places. Mm-hmm. So you'd ask yourself, were all of them delegates?
No.
Certainly, no. Mm-hmm. So not all of them were delegates.
Yeah.
Some of them were aides to delegates, aides, whatever, supporters, facilitators, drivers, bodyguards.
Yes, and you know, you could see some people as campaign team members of certain people who are not delegates.
Campaign coordinators.
They all had tags to be there. And so, well, it's...
Yeah, it's part of the politics, isn't it?
Yeah, but what is about our politics and
numbers?
And not numbers, violence. And sometimes lack of common sense and patience. Like I watched, I honestly didn't really follow this from start to end, but I saw videos of people trying to get into the stadium and the chaos at the entrance. What is it with this? And this one is like the same family, right?
Yes.
We are coming for a family meeting.
Yeah, all in meeting.
And there's chaos.
Yes.
We are shoving people away. We are hitting people here. What is it about our politics and chaos and...
Well, you know, sometimes you want to get in and get your voice heard, even though you may not even be a delegate.
Mm.
And I'm sure that if they were to, you know, sieve and identify other people who said yay, nay, some of them may not be delegates.
Mm.
But the point is that people really want to get in there.
Mm.
And sometimes they think, the belief is that if I don't show up quickly, I may not get a place to sit.
Yeah. Mm.
Forgetting that they've actually made, reserved seats for all who are delegates, especially.
Yeah.
So the people who, some of whom you may see fighting are probably people who are not delegates. Of course, some delegates may also be there.
Yeah. Mm.
But you ask, why are you in a hurry?
But there was security.
There was security there. When I got there,
state security.
Yeah, when I got there, I saw
and
the
there was
guys.
Party security.
Well, when I got there.
Still.
Well, when I got there, to be very honest, when I got
politics
there,
here,
when I got there, what I saw I mean, I went into the grounds. What I saw, it was the police. Where I passed was manned by the police.
Right, right.
And, oh boy, you dare not.
Yeah, the security is really passed, tight. Mm, yeah.
Where I passed.
Yeah.
Charlie, if you see the policeman, he just use his head and give you a sign. Use this route.
And you have to obey.
You would obey.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
at
yeah.
that side, that point, there was no chaos. Yeah. I didn't see chaos when I was entering. Mm. But earlier, before I got there,
yes, we had seen obviously that. Pictures.
So that's it. But of course, when I got there, the police, they had mounted their barricades even before you entered. So before you get in there, you actually would have to show whether you're a media, whether, I mean, you needed a tag to enter. If you didn't have it, truth is, you could actually go through the University of Ghana Sports Directorate and get to the stadium.
Mm.
But you cannot enter. So where the police had its barricade was the main entrance to the stadium. But if you went through the University of Ghana Sports Directorate, you can get in.
Mm.
However, you cannot enter. Mm.
So who controlled the main entrance to the stadium?
The Ghana Police Service. Mm.
So the videos I saw, were they to the main entrance or to some other place?
I do not know. What I say is that I used the VIP.
VIP. Big man.
Yes, I use that side.
And see why Blessed does what he does to me. Well, let me go to the news center front page. NPP expands electoral college in 54 new reforms. Blekusuko Star Project Phase 2 begins in Ketu South. And Gold Board to roll out traceability in 2026 to formalize small-scale mining, curb illegal trade. This is according to Sami Jemfi.
54 reforms, but I was a bit surprised that the parties pushed down the definition of who should be called a youth organizer. You know, that became a very controversial matter. The NPP believes that they should still keep it at 40. Then there's the controversy as to why you're keeping your youth organizer position, the age limit at 40, when by international definitions, that's way above board. So it's one of the, you know, reforms that the NPP might want to discuss further amongst themselves.
You know, when it comes to youth, based on where I am, I always find it challenging, the definition for youth. For example, if you're looking for certain grants, youth is defined as someone between 15 to 35.
Yeah.
Right. But in a lot of our endeavors, right, especially in this country, by the time you complete uni, do your national service, do some work to build your fundamentals to be able to participate in these things,
you're almost getting into 40. Yeah. Right.
And there are a lot of people who would want to build something and have something to hold on to before they get into politics or before they get into business. So for our needs and our situation, maybe we need to look at youth, because why should Winston not be able to apply for a certain grant now for his farm because he's almost 40 or over 40? Meanwhile, he's now worked to build the fundamentals, built infrastructure, and he should be able to attract extra funding. But people say youth is 15 to 35.
When I see all the grants, it should be less than 40. I don't qualify.
And you see the 15 to, you should be in school.
Yes.
Right.
So we need to redefine some of these things. And the state actually must take an interest in some of these things. That if ABCD wants to bring some grant into the country, we need to redefine their criteria so that it actually serves and meets our needs, not for people to come and check boxes.
I see.
So this youth conversation must be had.
Yes, definitely. The Economy Times, BOG confirms Ghana's economic rebound ahead of this week's media budget review. So we've seen flyers already going around that on Thursday, probably. I'm certain it should be Thursday. Yes, the finance minister will definitely be laying out his mid-year economic plan. So that's it for the Economy Times.
Now, Wednesday, let me take you to page 10 of the Daily Graphic. There is a rejoinder on the new national capital story that Daily Graphic carried on May 20. This is by J.W. Wadier. And he says that the president has announced that we are going to build a new capital. And he's recommending that the capital be taken to the Bono East region or to the Eastern region. So in the Bono East region, he's giving an area around Pran or Yeji. He says where the Sene River empties into the Volta Lake. And then if you look at the Eastern region recommendation, it says it should be situated at the confluence of the Pra and Brim rivers near Achimoda, encompassing parts of Eastern Ashanti and Central regions. This conversation has not really been had on the national capital, but I think one of these days we need to have that conversation. If you are going to site a new administrative hub for the country, where would it be best to put it to serve the interests of the state? And I thought I needed to highlight this, but still on the okay.
No, no. I mean, I think we must have this conversation. Maybe we should also look at whether we can properly decentralize certain organs of the state of government. So we may not necessarily consider a whole rebuild, but we can decide we are sending certain ministries to certain areas based on their competitive advantage, and hope that will become the central place for the spread effect of development.
Now let's go to page 13 of the Daily Graphic. NPP expands electoral college, voters increase from 220,000 to 280,000. Now the story says the vote has effectively expanded the party's electoral college, adding more than 60,000 polling station executives to the existing 220,000, enlarging the size of the voters to more than 280,000. This means all former members of parliament, former parliamentary candidates, former MMDCEs, card-holding former ministers and deputy ministers, as well as former regional constituency and branch executives will participate in the election of the flag bearer in January 2026. Now, Winston, will this stopped the...
Right.
What buying. Do you call it? Vote buying and related matters.
No.
Oh, but who has money to pay 280,000 people?
Oh, my brother.
If you give each of them 100 CDs, 280,000 people, 100 CDs, cry.
You want us to do the math?
Do the candidates have money like that?
Okay, let's do this.
This will stop vote buying.
200 and what?
80,000.
80,000. Okay. 80,000 times 100.
Yes.
Okay, that's 28 million.
So the candidates working around, they have that's 28 million plus the other funds they need to buy fuel, billboards, t-shirts, donations. They do have money.
They do. But of course, they're not going to be paying, for some people, say for the members of parliament, they don't expect, to be paid monies to vote. For the national executives, you don't expect to give them money to vote for you. However, there are people who would be giving money. And so the thing also is that you wouldn't have the candidate putting in all this money.
Okay.
He has supporters. He has fund donors who would help his campaign. Of course, he would put in a lot of the money. And so that's something that they have, actually.
Yeah. And I think that's why CSO is also asking for the passage of an election financing law, so that clearly we're able to tell where the money is coming from and where it's going. But there's also an interesting story about President Mahama dissolving the National Cathedral Board. Felix Ofosu-Kwachi has been speaking on that, and he says the decision is based on some audit findings. The Daily Guide has details of that, and I just want to quote portions of what he says, that the audit findings rock the very foundation of the project off the work. For the Secretariat, they raise serious concerns about the use of public funds and cast shadow over the integrity of the entire endeavor, unquote. So the words of the Government Communications Minister, Felix Kwachi Ofosu.
Let's get to the online news review, brought to us by Zenith Bank, in your best interests.
And get paid smarter with Zenit Merchant Pay. Running a business, make receiving payments fast, easy, and stress-free with Zenit Merchant Pay, the seamless solution for SMEs and also corporates. Now, with the Zenit Merchant Pay, you can now receive payments. You can do mobile money. You can do a QR code or bank transfer, *966#. That's Zenit Bank's USSD in real time. Also, enjoy instant payments, alerts, and also quick settlement and easy reconciliation. No delays at all, no stress. Just sign up for Zenit Merchant Pay today at any of the Zenit Bank branches near you and enjoy fast, secure, instant payments anywhere in Ghana. Zenit Bank is working in your interest.
If you go to MyJoy Online, Mahama promises fee refund for first-year tertiary students enrolling in September 2025. The FDA is calling for tougher penalties in fight against tramadol abuse. Robbing the future, gold lust killing Ghana's fish, marine life, and destroying mangroves. This is also on my Joy Online. And Prof. Kwame Kakari says, you don't manage society with money, you manage it with wisdom. Now, there is a disturbing story here. Nearly 200 Ghanaian students stranded as government owes University of Memphis. Now, let me give you two stories on education. The one on the president promises fee refund for first-year tertiary students. The story says President John Mahama has announced that the government will refund academic fees for all first-year tertiary students enrolling in September 2025. The initiative, part of his administration's commitment to equitable access to education, was revealed during a major stop on his nationwide thank you tour in Koforidua, Eastern Region. So we are promising to refund fees for first-year students in Ghana. In the U.S., nearly 200 Ghanaian students are stranded as the government owes the University of Memphis about $3.6 million. The story says that a large number of students who attend the University of Memphis might be forced to return to their home country, Ghana. University of Memphis President Bill Hardgrave joined Action News' 5's Better Memphis show on Wednesday to speak on the status of his students. He said the students are sponsored by the government, which has not paid the students' tuition yet, and the students will have until August 9 to find a way to make the payment, or they would have to vacate the country, according to the Daily Memphian. So we started following up on this scholarship thing. The government promised they would take action. When it comes to those on GNPC scholarship, for example, there are 2 years fees had been paid, right? Their stipends were not paid, but it's been paid now.
Yeah.
But those on the main Government of Ghana scholarship program, a lot of them are still stranded. It's been weeks of having this conversation. It's been months of this government coming into office. What really are we doing to help these people?
I mean, we're told that some of those in the UK, for instance, who have been checking with your colleagues in the US, say that the registrar is giving the strongest indication of steps he's been taking to resolve issues. And for now, we're told a tentative date of 30th July has been given. So let's just, you know, keep our fingers crossed. We're hoping that this will be done. And our source says he's been, in touch with those in the U.S., and it appears that a promise cuts across that all those who are owed fees will be paid by the 30th of July.
30th of this month.
This month, yeah.
That's good news. We'll be following up on that to see whether that is done. More stories on My Joy Online. Zuarungu Senior High School closed indefinitely following violent clashes. This story is also on My Joy Online. There's a story that Winston will be very interested in. Treasury bills record first oversubscription in 2 months. The story says that Ghana's Treasury recorded an oversubscription in its primary Treasury bill auction last week as investor demand surged by 97.82% above the government's target for the first time in 2 months. Is this good news?
Well, it is. In the past, there were a few challenges because then the rates that government was offering was not the best for many of these investors. But it looks like now, based on happenings in the Ghanaian economy, with the rate of inflation at 13.7%, these rates that are offered by government seem realistic now.
Now, have you also been following some of the conversations online about availability of dollars in the market?
Exactly. It's part of the things we're talking about today because, once I talked about it, someone sent me a message. I'm not going to be mentioning the banks involved, but, he's clearly sent me a message and indicated that, look, was paying for some tile purchase from China, and this bank could not sort me for about 3 weeks, and it was less than $10,000. I was also paying for goods for less than $10,000 through another bank, and it took a week. That one, Seth, it was because I knew somebody inside. So, I mean, I'm not mentioning the banks, but this is just to show you that there's an issue.
Yeah. And our black market friends are still doing brisk business, eh?
They have the dollars.
Yes. I always stop at the... Since we had that conversation, I always stop at airport just to engage. And you see them coming with a lot of money.
With the shadow material.
Yes.
Shadow. They always wear the shadow material. And it's the very big ones.
Oh, but these days they wear jeans and t-shirts.
Oh, really? They wear... Yeah. Oh, but the last one I saw...
They are rebranded.
Oh, the last one I saw was in shadow. That was this year. Less than 2 months ago. It was in shadow. The guy exchanged money, like what you see, what the barons do. He exchanged it quick, and that was all. Quickly.
Let me bring you some quick headlines from City Newsroom. Zuarungu Senior High School shut down after violent student clashes. Defense Minister to address nation and government accountability series today. Importers, exporters accuse Finance Minister of exclusion ahead of media budget review. And Salam Mustafa Hills NPP's rejection of youth age cap reduction. Mahama too says that he will not disappoint Ghanaians.
Good to know that he wouldn't disappoint Ghanaians. And normally, it's actually the appointees who create the problems. So, anyway, let's get to the BBC News. Now it's brought to us by Fidelity Bank. Fidelity Bank, believe with us. And Glyco, we cushion you for life, that conversation. And very soon, Kwame Sapamasiedu, who wrote that article, will be joining us here on the Super Morning Show. But, Chale, you know big things are happening. Cowbell Coffee is giving everyone the chance to win some amazing prizes. Netflix subscriptions, PS5 consoles for the gamers, smart TVs, phones, laptops, cash prizes, and even luxury all-expense paid trip to Zanzibar or South Africa. Plus, here's the cherry on top. Brand new Suzuki Jimny SUV. Just buy 10 promo sachets of Cowbell Coffee. Find the unique codes inside and dial *713*27# or scan the QR code on the sachet to enter your codes into the microsite. 10 sachets equals one entry, and boom, you're in. Visit our cowbellcoffee.gh on social media for more information. Cowbell Coffee with you every moment. Promo runs from now till the 15th of September. This advert is FDA approved and is regulated by NLA on the Caritas Lottery platform. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, and there's an opportunity for you, business one, of course. Join Access Bank and Latina Travel and Tours or to explore exciting franchise partnerships and also distribution opportunities in Turkey, Istanbul, and also a leisure in Dubai from the 11th of August to the 18th of August 2025. Now, join Latina Business Caravan to Istanbul's biggest WCI Expo exhibition. Participate in the private B2B meetings with the Istanbul Chamber of Commerce. Interact with industry experts and also partnership opportunities. And go on several special factory visits to boost your business. So check out the lowest package from $2,550 or its CD equivalent. That would include your visa to Turkey and Dubai. Then you have your flight, economy class, you have hotel, four-star, and also the opportunity to participate in the exhibition, B2B meetings, and factory visits as well. You'd experience the unforgettable memories with tours of Istanbul and Dubai. Insurance packages are also included in this. And for those of you who are wondering which number to call, here's Tina. Tina's number is 0244-260-789. You can also reach Jemima on 0246-655-276. You can visit any of the offices of Latina Travels. But if you're in Accra, they're at Alisa Hotel, Northridge, landmark building it is. And of course, once you get into that building, you'd get more information on this exciting WCI Expo exhibition happening jointly with Access Bank and Latina Travel and Tours.
So the Global Conference on Human Resources in Africa returns this August 13th to 16th. Join HR thought leaders, business executives, and technology enthusiasts for a four-day immersive experience at Kempinski Hotel. We're thrilled to announce our partnership with Society for Human Resource Management, the world's largest HR professional association, and we'll be joined by Johnny C. Taylor Jr., CEO and President of the Society for Human Resource Management, Emily Dickens, Chief of Staff and Corporate Secretary at the Society for Human Resource Management, Dr. Najat El Madi, Qatar HR Forum, Andy Bilado, who's SHRM CTO, Nicole Heskovitz, who is Corporate VP of Microsoft 365 and Co-Pilot, Dr. Francis Duku, who's CEO of CIHRM Ghana, and the Minister for Labor, Jobs and Employment, Honorable Abdul Rashid Pelpo. The GCHRA 2025 is more than a conference, it's an experience. For more, visit gchrafrica.com or call 055-408-1727 or +1 347 384 7817. GCHRA 25 is organized by Kusi Consulting and powered by SHRM. Sponsors and partners include NYC SHRM Kempinski Hotel, CIHRM Ghana, IHRM Kenya, HRMA Uganda, AHRP Liberia, Adansi Travels, Semrab Consort, ICS Africa, Rwanda Air, Jobberman, and others.
So here's the thing, we're all looking for a little more in life without spending more, right? I get it, because every CD counts, and that's why I'm sharing with you something really exciting and making the difference for a lot of people. The Absa Abapa account, which is designed for people like us, those who work hard and deserve more for less. So here's what you get with the Absa Abapa account: a free GH link card, access to loans up to 50,000 Ghana cedis when you need help. There's also high interest on savings, free SMS alerts to track every peswa which is spent. There's seamless mobile and online banking, so no need to join the long queues at all. And many more. Here's the best part: it's simple to open. So if you're looking for more value, peace of mind, and more control over your money, then the Absa Abapa account is just the right one for you. Open an account today and get more. Terms and conditions apply. Your story matters. Absa.
Great. So, you know, Blessed, we've been talking about men's health. We say that men's health matter. We've been having a conversation about you know, high blood pressure and the medications you must take if you have high blood pressure. Because the general concern is that there are many men who fear taking these because they say it would affect their libido. Well, this morning, Kwame Sapong Asiedu is a pharmacist. He's based in the in England, in the UK, and he's also a D&D fellow of CDD Ghana. Kwame, good morning, and thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Winston. I'm blessed, and thanks for having me.
Great. So, Kwame, you wrote that, and I saw that, and, you know, it's led to a lot of conversation, so we said, why not bring it on air? First of all, help us understand what the problems are. For those who may not have read your article, what's the problem? What is it that you see as the problem?
Thanks. I've written so much over the last few days on this, so I don't even know where to start. The problem is, a while back, myself and Dr. T.H. Champon were looking at Ghana's mortality data. So we're looking at when we die, because that is instructive. And we found out that 40% of all deaths in Ghana happen between the ages of 40 and 60 years. And so 20% between the ages of 40 and 50, and 20% between the ages of 50 and 60. And of those who turn 60, 70% are dead by their 65th birthday. So we then looked at the WHO definition of avoidable deaths. And what it says is that current global life expectancy is 72 years. So any death below the age of 72 is technically avoidable, because health has evolved to a point where, on average, every person born on this planet should be able to live to 72 years. Yes, some people are living to even 90 and 100. I don't know if you saw a video recently of Dr. Mahathir, former Prime Minister of Malaysia, Mahathir Mohamad, who has hit 100 and was saying what his routine was. He was in his office. So these have become the norm. So I was like, well, so why is it that this is not happening for us in Ghana? So we started looking at what is killing us, because now we knew where we were dying. So what is killing us? And then we realized that in the bracket from 40 to 60 years, where 40% of the deaths are happening, 60 to 65% of those deaths are due to what we call cardiovascular incidents. And so we said, so what are these cardiovascular incidents? And majority of them were hypertension related and some diabetic related. And we said, so how are we dying? And then we found out a lot of people are getting what's called myocardial infarctions. A lot of people are getting strokes and stuff like that. And the irony was that a lot of the strokes we were getting in Ghana were what we call hemorrhagic strokes, where you bleed, compared with ischemic strokes, which is due to other complications of the. And once majority are hemorrhagic strokes, you immediately know that it's due to poor high blood pressure control or cardiovascular disease control generally. So I started then reading into it furthermore and said, this seems to be a crisis we're ignoring. And as you've known me, well, I don't shy away from crisis. Right from before COVID, Galam say, if I see a crisis, I'll go in with the information I have and try and educate. So I started having conversations with friends, and I realized that the major reason why, because when it comes to these cardiovascular deaths as well, significant high number are males. About 75-80% are males. And I was like, why is this happening? And it boiled down to one thing. A lot of us know we have what do you call it, all these cardiovascular issues, but we would just not take our medication. We would just not take our medication. So it was like, why don't we take our medication? The bottom line then became issues with our libido, issues with our sex drive.
Okay.
And I was like, should we be dying because we want pleasure? Is that a risk we're taking? So I decided to break the whole thing into a number of issues. First, to demystify the whole issue about libido.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, to demystify the whole issue about high blood pressure.
Okay.
And finally, to take on the social economic implications of these avoidable deaths. Because it is not only you who's dying, but if it happens and your children are young, you are actually affecting them adversely. So in a way, by deciding not to take your medication, you are being a bit selfish.
That
is why I decided to do this.
Okay. But Kwame, I mean, let's get into it, because, you know, the moment I introduced the topic this morning, I got a lot of men sending messages here and there. Now, do some of these medications affect the sex drive as it deliberate? Do they?
Yes. You see, there are different types of antihypertensives.
Mm-hmm.
They are what we call the water tablets. What we, as professionals, we call diuretics. But because it lets a lot of people, they call it water tablet.
Mm-hmm.
And they can have these side effects.
Okay.
And then they are what we call the beta blockers. So example of the water tablet is something like bendrofluorazine. And there are those that we call the beta blockers, which also are used in the management of hypertension, which can also have those side effects. And I use can because it wouldn't affect everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's not everyone who would experience these side effects. It would affect some, but not all. The second thing is that there are other forms of hypertensive management. And with the new approach to hypertensive management, the drugs that are generally recommended for blacks, like in Ghana, we use a lot of what we call calcium channel blockers and what we call ACE inhibitors, or angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitors, like lisinopril, or what we call angiotensin receptor blockers, like losartan, eprosartan, and all that. We use those in Ghana. Those don't have these side effects. But people have misinformed to the point where people think every antihypertensive has those side effects.
Mm.
So the problem then becomes, a lot of people, maybe you are prescribed a beta blocker to start with, or a water tablet to start with, and you are having these side effects. If you are not having those side effects, don't just stop taking it because they said you would have those side effects, because not all everyone would have it. If you look at any medication and you look at the list of side effects, they are listed on the basis of probability. So the ones with the highest probability come first, and as they go down, the least probable come. So they come 1 in 1,000, 1 in 10,000, 1 in 100,000, 1 in 1,000,000, thereof. That's how they are listed. So you should not just assume that because Kwame had that side effect, you have that side effect. The second thing is the poor management of hypertension itself, because of the impact of the blood supply and also on your vessels, can cause erectile dysfunction.
Okay.
So sometimes it's not even the drug that is causing it. It is the fact that you had the erectile. For many, the first sign that they have a cardiovascular problem is when they have erectile problems. But unfortunately, with our society, if it happened to someone in their 30s or early 40s, they'll go and buy beta's, because they wouldn't think that that is the first telltale sign that you may be having a cardiovascular problem. But in most people, that is often the first sign that you're having a cardiovascular problem. And so when they start taking medication, should a doctor diagnose, and they have that problem, rather than try and find out whether it's the drug or is there a physiological condition that's causing it, they blame the drug and stop taking it.
Mm.
That's putting yourself on suicide watch.
Okay. I mean, let's get back to this whole drug thing. And I'm happy that you've actually set the tone. Because if you were to go out there today, there are a lot of people, by virtue of what they've heard others say, conclude that, oh, it's going to affect their, you know, sex drive. It's going to give them erectile dysfunction. And so I've had friends who've actually said that, you know, the first question their wives asked them when they were diagnosed with high blood pressure was, I hope it wouldn't affect performance. You're saying that could be the case, but there are other drugs that do not have those side effects.
Yes. Yes. That is definitely the answer. There are other drugs that don't have those side effects. But more importantly, your erectile dysfunction may be a result of the uncontrolled hypertension, not because you went on medication. But that's a conversation we don't have, and that is the conversation I am keen to have.
Let's have that conversation about uncontrolled hypertension. When you say uncontrolled hypertension, what is that person not doing right?
Uncontrolled hypertension, you know that your blood pressure would go up and down within a particular range. So as health professionals in the UK, we use, normally you ideally would expect around 120, 70, 128, ideally. But when it comes to, when it starts shifting towards 130, people get put on watch. Anytime it gets to about 140, there is a problem. 140, 90, there is a problem. So when we talk of uncontrolled hypertension, it could be one of two things. It could be either because you are not on any medication, you don't even know you're hypertensive, and your blood pressure is all over the place. Those are the ones I call the walking ill. It could also be that you're on medication, but the medication is not enough to control your blood pressure into a good zone, so your blood pressure is too high. It could, and therefore maybe more medication has to be added to control your blood pressure. It could also be that you've been given the medication, but you are not taking it, or you are not even taking it properly, and therefore your blood pressure is not controlled. All categories are a danger sign.
Okay.
Whichever one you fall into, they are a danger sign.
Now let's look at this a bit, also because you are a pharmacist. Let's look at the last one, taking the medication and not taking it properly. How does that come about?
It comes about for a number of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
In our language, in pharmaceutical or medical parlance, we talk about concordance. Concordance simply means taking your medication in agreement with your health professional in a way that suits you.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not about you, the health professional, thinking, I know it all, so I've given you this tablet, just go and take it. The patient often knows more about their physiology, their human being, than you, the health professional. So you both have to agree what is best for the patient, what drug they have to be put on, what they should expect, and when they have to take it. If that agreement is reached and you take your medication, you are concordant, often your blood pressure would be controlled. The problem comes when people would skip their medication because they think, oh, today I might have an encounter with my partner or something, and I don't want to risk embarrassment, so I wouldn't take my medication. The point is that the minute you didn't take that medication, your blood concentration of the medication would drop below what we call the therapeutic window. Because when you take any medicine, there is a minimum limit at which the medicine becomes effective to give you the outcome you want. And there is a top window at which, if you go above, the medicine becomes toxic. That means it will give you significant side effects. The two windows, the top and bottom, is what we call the therapeutic window. Ideally, you have to maintain your medicine concentration in your blood within that therapeutic window. You shouldn't let it go above it or below it. When you don't take your medication, it often drops below it, which means it's incapable of controlling your blood pressure.
Kwame,
and please, that is what happens.
Yes, Kwame, let me just do this because you're explaining it to all of us. Is it the case, for instance, that if you're on, say, on antihypertensive drugs, the time that you started taking it, you should take it at that same time daily, or you can vary it at every point?
See, there are different types of medication, so it's not a one-size-fits-all.
Okay.
So, for example, there are certain medicines that you are taking once a day, which is a 24-hour medication.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, you should take it at approximately the same time to maintain that concentration in the therapeutic window, like I was saying. So, if I say the same time, if, say, you take your medication every time at breakfast, and you have your breakfast between 8 and 9, take it always between 8 and 9. It doesn't mean that 8 o'clock sharp and you have to be. No, you can take it between 8 and 9. Even sometimes if it goes after 9, it's not too bad. What you can do is take it at 8 o'clock one day, take it 12 o'clock the other day, take it 6 o'clock the next day. That would give you peaks and troughs. And that would not give you effective hypertensive control. Or for that matter, if you are treating any disease, it wouldn't give you effective control. And that is what you have to avoid. If it's a medication you take twice a day as well, try to take it approximately every 12 hours apart. And also, stick to the small print on the medication, because sometimes the small print would say, take it with or after food and all those things. Stick to it.
Okay, great. Now, let's look at another point. Are there some medications, I mean, you've talked about, are there some times, you've talked about the fact that if you're taking at this time, you stick to it. But there are also the other question of the best time to take it. Some people say, oh, the best time is to take it in the morning. Some say it's in the evening. Again, you're the pharmacist. What's the best time to take it?
Again, it's not a one-size-fits-all. There are certain medication, if you take at night, you would get what we call early morning, hypotension. You could. So they tell you to take it in the morning. There are some medication you need to take at night. That is why I keep saying, I don't give blanket advice on medicines when I'm talking, doing public education. You need to speak to your pharmacist, because it depends on the particular tablet you've been prescribed. He would be able to discuss with you and determine the best time of the day to take it. Because these things do not come with blanket caveats. And that is one of the misconceptions we have, that, oh, for all our antihypertensives, you can take it at this particular time or you can take it at that particular time. It doesn't work that way.
Okay, okay. Great. I mean, it's good we're having this conversation with Kwame Sapong-Asiedu, because, you know, what we've christened men's health matter, because a lot of men have become, you know, very confused. They don't know what they should do. But you say that it's important to take your medication. If you have any problem, just consult your doctor or your pharmacist and you're good to go.
Yes, because if you are not doing well on the medication can be altered. Sometimes it may just be that you are not doing well on the medication because you are not taking it properly. Because sometimes the side effects can be due to the timing, the time of the day you take the medication. There are a lot of conversations around medicines that need to be had when you're on medication that you are taking on for a lifetime. Because you have to realize that antihypertensives will be taken for a lifetime. It's not medication you can stop taking, because you do not cure hypertension, you manage it. And that's another misconception that I want to cure. You do not cure a chronic disease, you manage it. And that is why I have a lot of chagrin when I hear all these herbal medicines, oh, make too hypertension, nasty, and all that. It is not possible, because it is a physiological malfunction. So you need to have a lot of conversations to understand what's going on and how you're taking your medication.
Kwame, I need us to focus on that point again, because, you know, there are those who also have said, for instance, that, oh, once they introduce exercises into their daily routines, what they seek to do is that over a period, they will get off the antihypertensive medication. Is that possible?
Once you're put on medication, it's highly unlikely. Lifestyle is good, because lifestyle can help modulate your blood pressure. But often, once you get into a clinical diagnosed state, very, very, very few people in my practice, extremely few people would ever come off antihypertensives.
There are those also, you know, who argue that, oh, because I've been exercising, I don't take it every day. So yeah, I probably would take it today, then I'll wait till Wednesday or Thursday before I take the next one. What do you say about that?
Well, that's what I meant by you go below the therapeutic window. You would have subclinical doses in your blood, and your hypertension, your blood pressure will go up. You risk having a stroke or a myocardial infarction if you are not careful.
There's a question here. I you know, let me just run it by you. It says, what about those of us who have low blood pressure and are on beta blockers, pressure measuring on the average 85 over 60?
If you're low blood pressure, I doubt if you'd be on a beta blocker. So if you're on a beta blocker and you're having low blood pressure, it may just be that you were hypertensive and the beta blocker has dropped your blood pressure. It then may be that the dose you are currently taking is a bit too high to control your blood pressure. So you need to speak to the doctors. They might drop the dose. But these are conversations you need to have, because if you're hypotensive, you wouldn't necessarily be put on a beta blocker.
Great, great, great. Kwame, I mean, we're so happy that you made time to join us this morning. I think there's another question that says, please ask Kwame about medication and sex. How do they work together?
Well, yes, it's early morning, but I'll try and explain it.
Mm-hmm.
When, you see, anytime you look at blood pressure.
Sus niños murieron en remolques, ahogados en el río. Muchos murieron de hambre en el desierto. Niñas violadas, desaparecieron niños. El peligroso camino para cruzar la frontera no conduce a una vida mejor. Lleva a la muerte. Cárteles mienten, mulas roban. Incluso si sobreviven, la frontera de Estados Unidos está cerrada. Serán atrapados y enviados de vuelta. Puede tener la esperanza de que hay algo mejor, pero no hay nada mejor en estar muerto.
I look at it from two points. Look at it from the tap in your house and you are attaching a hose pipe to it. When you open the tap and you squeeze the hose pipe, you realize that the pressure of the water coming out of the nozzle increases. That is what your heart is experiencing. Your heart is pumping. It's supposed to pump at a constant rate. But sometimes there might be collections in your blood vessels that resist the, flow of blood coming out from the heart. As a result, they can give you a number of medications, like the water tablets I was talking about, which would decrease what we call the blood volume. And as a result, your blood pressure will drop because what we call the cardiac output, the volume of blood that is being pumped out will go down. They can also give you another drug, like I said about the hose pipe, which would decrease what we call the peripheral resistance. So it would decrease the resistance that your arteries and veins pose when the blood is being pumped by the heart. The same thing happens in your penile area. When you get an erection, blood has to flow into that penile area to make it strong. If the blood supply is poor, then the erection will be poor. And that is basically how erectile dysfunction happens. And that's why there's a synergy between blood pressure and erectile dysfunction. So that is the broad basic explanation I'll give. There are further technicalities, but for the purposes of public education, I don't think that is relevant.
Okay. There's also this message, and Kwame, once you're with us, a lot of people listening are taking advantage to ask their questions. Says, I noticed that when I exercise, my pressure reduces about 10 minutes, reduces after 10 minutes. Is that normal? It drops to 120/70, which is normal. It's usually between 130 and 150. I am taking medication, though.
Yes. Like I said, lifestyle modification exercise has been proved to help with your cardiovascular quality of life. So that is pretty normal. And that's why we tell people to exercise and run and all that, because they want to keep their heart and their cardiovascular system healthy. So the answer to that is yes.
Finally, there are those who say Dr. Nutako just sent a message indicating that one of the most important ways of controlling hypertension and diabetes is what you eat. I'm sure that's something you would agree to.
Oh, yes. I mean, that is why I said that you need to be concordant. You need to have it. For some, they would even have to have a conversation with their nutritionist to see what is in their foods. So your diet, like I said, all these things, we call them lifestyle diseases. The point is that you can delay them with a good lifestyle, but human beings are like vehicles. As you go on and on and on and on, your blood pressure creeps up. It comes with the aging process, and you just need to keep an eye on it. Diet and other poor lifestyles might bring it on earlier, and that is why you need to keep an eye on your lifestyle, like alcohol, lack of exercise, salt intake, high cholesterol foods. They can bring these things on earlier, like the fast foods, pre-prepared foods and all that.
Okay.
But that does not mean you can manage blood pressure with those on their own.
Kwame, finally, there's this message that says, Winston, can those on hypertension medication go on a long fast and prayer to complete their religious faith?
Oh, yes. I mean, fasting would not have an impact. I mean, if you're a diabetic, then obviously you have to keep an eye on your sugar levels and all that, so that you don't go into hypoglycemia and all that, especially when you're using insulin. But with blood pressure, yes, people fast. I mean, who deceived anybody that the cardinals and other monks who sit in the monasteries are not on blood pressure medication? In my practice, you'll be surprised at the number of people who are on blood pressure medication from all walks of life. It is not specific to any particular person? And so the answer to that is you could.
Mm. And is there any relationship between diabetes and hypertension?
Well, sometimes people would get them as what we call comorbidities. They can coexist within the same person. But it's very often what I've seen is, especially with diabetics, they would be associated with hypertension. The reverse, I don't see that much. But they often can exist together.
Hmm. Kwame Sapong-Esiedu, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're glad that you made time to explain these issues to us and all the messages that we've received. A lot more coming in is an indication that people are interested and they are learning more about these. We should do this again. Thank you very, very much for making time to join us.
You're always welcome.
And that's Kwame Sapong-Esiedu telling us that, look, you need to take your drugs. Very, very important. And Blessed, before we go for a break, the Vice President of the Ghana Medical Association, Professor York, actually sent me this message. He says I can quote him, so I'll do that.
Right.
It is true that some blood pressure medications could cause erectile dysfunction. The point is that medication A could cause erectile dysfunction in person B, but not in person C. When it occurs, there are very potent remedies. Let the boys know this, please. The price of not taking your blood pressure tablets could cost your life and maim you forever. Mm. Boys, look sharp.
Right, right. And I agree. And we also have to work on the advertisement aspect too. You know, there are some medications that will promise so much. And that's also part of the problem I think we're facing.
Great. Stay with us. When we return after these messages here on the Super Morning Show, we get into a conversation about, first, the NPP's National Delegates Conference. Two, a conversation about the dollar. Where are they? The concerned importers are complaining.
And save the date and join.
Great. One of the things that we all know is that the Cedi and its appreciation against the dollar and its stability is a very important conversation. But the concerned importers have been raising a very critical point. In fact, during the Graphic Business Stanbic Bank breakfast meeting last week also, the president of Guta, Joseph Obeng, also made that point. At the time, I remember the head of the global trade at Stanbic Bank saying some of these persons were not prepared to actually go through the formal route, and that created a problem. Well, I've seen messages from people who say, I have tried, I've gone to the banks, I've just needed less than $10,000 and I still couldn't get it. It took me 3 weeks, sometimes 1 week. What's really happening? Professor Peter Kwarte is a director, Institute of Statistical, Social and Economic Research, has joined us on phone. Prof, good morning. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Winston, and good morning to you.
Great, Prof. So, I mean, the simple question is, where are the dollars? People say, the concerned importers say, when they get to the banks, they cannot get it and are thus forced to go to the Forex Bureau or the black market. What's happening?
Yeah. Okay, let me give you a brief background.
Okay.
You know, the Forex market has two segments. The banking, financial system, which controls about 80% of the transactions. Then the Forex and the black market, which controls about 20%. Unfortunately, the second group are the most volatile, most noisy. So, at the least noise, then you hear a lot of these complaints happening. The banks have assured us, and I have spoken with my bankers, I've also dealt with some of these Forex transactions. If you have an account and you want to import and you have all the documentation, there is no problem. There's no limit as to how much you can pay. I mean, your invoice that can be honest. It is those who want physical cash. That is where the problem is. And even for those who want physical cash, if you have deposited physical cash, you have access to your money. But it's those who don't have accounts and have not deposited physical cash, yet they want physical cash. That is where the problem is. And unfortunately for our brothers and sisters, Guta and the rest, they prefer to transact with cash. They don't want to use the banking system, because when you do that, then government can track the value of your import, so you pay the appropriate taxes. So they prefer to deal on the black market, deal with physical cash, where it is about under invoicing and all this can happen. So they beat how much tax they pay. So that is the problem. I don't think there is a shortage of forex on the market. It is those who want physical cash, those who don't want to deal with the banking system. Where in the world do you trade in cash? Do you want to do huge sums of cash? So let's educate our people to use the banking system. We say we are moving cashless. And you want to trade in forex, you want to trade in CDs, you want to carry huge sums of cash on you. It is not safe. So let's educate our members, let's educate people on the proper use of forex.
Well, Professor Kwarto, just by way of clarification, I mean, you say that 80% through the banks and then 20 through the Forex Bureau and the black market. Some say that the real dollar is in the black market and the Forex Bureau.
That is not true. You speak with Bank of Ghana officials, you look at it, they will tell you the volume, the real volume happens through the banking system. Unless, of course, there's an underground economy, which informal economy, which you and I cannot estimate. But what the central bank has oversight over, what is in our book, shows that about 80% happens within the banking system.
Great. But I mean, Professor Kwarto, there are those, and I've seen messages, okay? I've seen messages, and someone just sent me a message. He's mentioned, you know, even the banks, for instance, says we deal with SWIFT from the banks. For the past couple of weeks, you cannot even get 200,000 transfer from them in a week. And he's listed the banks, but I'm not going to mention the name, the names of these banks.
Yeah, I'll be surprised that is the case, because I have engaged my banker and they have denied that this is happening. That once you deal with them, you receive your forex and you want to transact, you have an invoice and we have a direct documentation, they don't have any problem transferring money. So maybe it's a particular problem with that bank.
Well, I mean, that could also be part of the challenge, because the fear of many is that there are some people who look at personalities. So if you know somebody within the system, you place a call, they tell you no problem, but that is actually not the situation for the others. And for these persons who have sent me their messages, they are large, huge importers in this country.
Well, if you're a huge importer and your proceeds, I mean, when you sell, your proceeds are sent to the bank, are deposited with the bank. I don't foresee this problem happening. I don't know. For me, it beats my imagination how that would happen.
Okay. Prof, thank you very much for your intervention this morning. We're very glad that you made time to join us.
My pleasure.
Okay, so that's Professor Peter Kwarto sharing his thoughts with us here on the Super Morning Show. Yes, Kujo, you want to make a point?
Yes, you know, this came up about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
When some people said, even though the BOG assures that we have enough dollars in the system, that's not the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that the governor is listening. He may want to re-engage the people and see what the issues really are. And if it's also to do with some of the allegations that some of these traders don't want to pay taxes and don't want the government to see the volume of business they do, that's why they always want to go for cash. That must also be addressed, because we need to know the transactions happening within the country to even estimate the value of our economy. Not so?
Yeah.
So people should do things through the system so that we can record all these transactions, and so that the BOG can also plan appropriately when it comes to how they manage the forex. And so it's very important that we do this. But the black market, I think, is more than 20% of wasting.
Well, he's
Prof says it's not true.
He says that that's the figures that he
says it's not true.
And that's what you get.
But if you see the way the people are misbehaving in the black market and how much money is moving, sometimes I think, anyway,
We'll defer to him because he's a researcher. He's done it for years. So
okay. But let me tell you about Optima Solar System, because if you're thinking of going solar, you want to keep your lights on even when the grid goes off, then it's time to power your life the smart way with Optima Solar Systems, your trusted experts in solar energy solutions, from solar panel installations to lithium battery systems, solar water heater, solar water pumps, and even solar powered CCTV. Optima Solar has you covered with reliable, eco-friendly technology built for Ghanaian living. And here's the best part: we don't just install and disappear. Optima Solar provides ongoing maintenance and repairs so your system runs smoothly year round. And that is not all. We offer comprehensive solar insurance against theft, fire, flood, and other perils. Flexible payment plans available subject to status. So whether it's your home, farm, or business, reduce your electricity bills, increase your energy independence, and make a positive impact on the environment. Call us now on 0303-960134 or 0505-023472. Visit us online. That's optimasolarsystems.com, and follow us on Instagram and Facebook, Optima Solar GH. Optima Solar Systems, the future is bright, the future is solar.
Hey, boss lady, yes, you, the go-getter, the planner, the do-it-all woman, building her business one bold step at a time. MTN sees you, and we're cheering you on every step of the way. That's why we created the MTN Ejumapa just for you. It's more than just a bundle. It's your new business bestie with special data and call bundles that you can stay connected to your customers, suppliers, and everything that helps you and your hustle grow. But wait, there's more, because MTN Ejumapa also comes with insurance benefits to help protect your business that you've worked so hard to build. So because we know you're not just working for today, you are building a future. It is time to level up, scale up, and shine brighter than ever. Dial *5060# now, grab your Ejumapa bundle, and let's get to work on your success story together. MTN Ejumapa, powering women in business.